Come into this place where the ordinary is sanctified, where the human is celebrated, where compassion is expected. Come into this place. Together as God's beloved, we make it a holy place with our every act of worship. Let us celebrate the richness and diversity of God's beautiful creation. Thank you for being together in this sacred space, having just left the sacred space of the outdoors. Every Sunday when we gather, I am so struck by the beauty of the three simple chimes of those bells. And I thank you for that, BJ, and I thank you that this church has chosen to begin our worship that way. A reminder that our monthly newsletter is complete and it's available online. If you haven't received it in an email, that means that you're not on our email list. And if you would like to receive weekly or monthly updates via email, please give me or any one of us your email address and we'll make sure that you are on that list. Also, you can pick up hard copies in the back of the sanctuary. You might find in there, too, that something new starting tomorrow morning. The sanctuary will be open for prayer meditation from 6:30 until 7:30. And I'll be available in the church library, which is just that room right off of the sanctuary here, if you want somebody to pray with. Otherwise, you can just come in here, feel free to pray or spend quiet time as you like, and that'll be every Monday morning. And Pastor, I will either will provide for you a written copy of devotions that you might want to use for the week. If you miss that, that sacred time at 6:30 in the morning, just know that you're being prayed for during that hour and throughout the week. And also that devotion can be picked up. It'll be outside the church during the week also. Also, this Wednesday, our book group will meet at 12:30 here in the church library. If you want any information about this week, even if you haven't read the book, just show up. It'll be a good time. And you can get information about next month's book also. And some copies of that will be available this month too. Or I can show you how to download that either on audiobook or on ebook for free with your library card. If you don't have a library card, I can get one for you very easy. And now let us begin our formal time of worship with our call to worship found in your bulletin or on our screen. We come into your house, divine potter.
We praise you, O God, wonderful are your works. We are broken and shaped. We have been through fire, but you remain us.
We bring our burdens and concerns, our hopes and dreams, our doubts and our delights.
We praise you, O God, wonderful are your works. You hold us in your loving hands.
We seek your wisdom, reveal your direction and our path.
We praise you, O God, wonderful are your works. Repair and rebuild us.
And please rise in body or spirit for our first hymn, Number 29, O God, You Search Me.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray in the assurance that your mercy, O God, is available and near to us. And we also pray in hope that your mercy release us from inaction, apathy, and overwhelm so that we may be your instruments of redemption, reparation, and restoration in the world. Forgive us, perhaps most of all, for simply seeking your mercy for the ills of the world, rather than your miraculous power to rise in us to overcome them. Grant us grace to pray boldly with our words, in our actions, in your name. Amen. Beloved, God's mercy is available, and so is God's power at work in us. We do not receive the grace of the potter just for no reason, but rather to be used to break down what needs to be deconstructed and reconstructed, and to support what needs repair and restoration. A new world that reflects the realm of God is possible through us. Amen. Let us say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us greet one another with some signs of Christ's peace. Peace be with you. Much love.
Dear friends, what a beautiful Lord's Day. Yeah. It is so beautiful that I wasn't even angry at the deer eating the flowers in our front yard. That's how beautiful it is. Did you all sing last week? Is this your first Sunday? Isn't it nice to having the choir back and to share with us from their heart and their voices? So we're grateful for that and for our covenant pastor. Now, I'm not preaching every Sunday, but I know this, that every pastor wants the prayers of the people. We stand before you and we feel like, what do I have to say? What on earth, what good could I offer the world and the congregation today? And then the Holy Spirit brings power and words and presence and proclamation occurs. And our hearts are lifted. So every Sunday, if I'm preaching or when she's preaching, make sure that you're in a spirit of prayer for the service, that lives will be strengthened and hope will be renewed and joy will be rediscovered. So that's the beginning for me. One other thing I want to mention is on the table, right in front of the bulletin board back there, I have prepared a card for Henry McComb, who's back in college, Hobart and William Smith College in Geneva, New York, right on beautiful Seneca Lake. He was with us for most of the summer. I was so glad to see a college student among us, and he was faithful for most of the summer. And so let's remember him. So I just got a card. We're remembering you in our prayers. And sign your name. There's a pen there if you want to write a heart, draw a heart or a smiley face or whatever. I'm sure we can get all the names. So even if you don't know Henry, let him know that he's in our hearts and our prayers as he begins another year of college. We've been praying for one another in this place on the last many days, as many of you have experienced some kind of medical concern. Some of us have had the loss of a loved one or a friend. Others of us have our own particular challenges. So you know each other's names, and I don't have to go through that list, but as you look around, you'll think of someone, oh yes, I need to pray for them. There's someone who's beginning a new job this week at Carlo University. There are guests here, Navy Admiral and Madison, together on the back row. So many blessings. And our hearts and lives are so enriched because we're here with one another. You know, can I just go ahead and preach? Could I just take the service over? You wouldn't.
I do want to mention we want to continued prayers for Janet's sister.
Yes, that's right. Janet's sister. What was I saying? I read these articles all the time in the papers and the magazines that our nation is suffering from loneliness. People are isolated from each other. Friendships that we used to count on are no longer there. Neighborhoods have turned into strange places, the suburbs, where people don't know their next door neighbor. So we don't have that here. We know each other by name. We weep with each other during loss. We laugh together in times of joy. And our lives are enriched and blessed. May that be true for you. That's all the sermon I'm going to.
That's a good one.
Is that a good? Okay. Let's gather our hearts together in prayer. Oh God, we are so grateful for this beautiful day, for the people sitting next to us and behind us, in front of us, for each person that welcomed us with a smile or a hug or a wink or a nod. We are alive because we love each other, because we come together our hearts are mended and we feel important to each other, and we are. So we are so thankful for all of the gifts because we are here on this Lord's Day. Most of all, we are grateful that you love us with a love that will not let us go, a love that never looks away at all of our ups and downs and good days and bad. Your gaze is constantly upon us. Your hands, your rod and staff, faithfully guiding us. And those times when we think that life is over and not worth it and there's no reason to live another day, you come and bless us with new strength. Challenge us to new challenges. We are so grateful to you today. We're grateful that you love us even when we are unloving, and we are unloving more times than we care to admit. Call us to a love that goes beyond our own needs, our own ego trips, our own pride, our own narcissism. Make us large of heart for one another and for your world. We come today looking for answers. And if we don't have answers, we have your presence, and that's enough. We come seeking strength, and your promise is that you will never turn us away. We are hungry for your warmth and for the warmth of human love. May it grow. We come praying for one another that bodies will be healed, that tears will be wiped away, that your hungry world will be filled. In this moment of silence, we pray for those who have in these days and in days to come will face great challenges. O God of mystery and power, nothing is hid from you. To you, all things are plain. Give us grace to hear your word as it's proclaimed from this pulpit today by your servant, Ng, and received faithfully in our hearts. Give us grace to hear your word and to see your hand. May we leave this place in a closer walk with you. May we leave this place knowing that we are guided every step and in every breath, that we are never alone, and that our lives matter to you, to others, and to the world. Gracious God, hear our prayers. Make us new. Make us strong. Make us faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught disciples in prayer to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Don't forget the card on the back table for Henry.
Thank you, Pastor. And let us rise again in body or spirit and sing together hymn number 543. God be the love to search and keep me. Please be seated, and would our ushers come forward as we receive this morning's offering. Hey, BJ. God wanted me to add verses this week. So I know. God usually doesn't want me to add things. God's usually saying, please be quiet. But could you read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll stop, and then we're going to add a little verses, and then finish. So if right now you could just read verses 1 through 6.
Okay. Good morning. Today's reading is Psalm 139, 1 through 6. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it.
Thank you. And now I would ask all of us to find the Pew Bible, if you would, if there's one with you, and turn to page 541, Psalm 139, verse 7. And if we could read verses 7 through 12 together, and when you read it, if somehow you could just really take that in and read it like you really mean it, you know, like just for you. This is poetry. And I know a lot of people, I mean, I used to feel this way. Roses are red, violets are blue, poetry is boring, right? But it's not. Let us read this together. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, let only darkness cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to thee. The night is bright as the day, for the darkness is as light with thee. And then, BJ, if you would, please.
This is Psalms 139, 13 through 18. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance, and the book were written. All the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. This is a reading of God's word.
And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So why did I feel like God was asking me to add verses today? Well, there are two reasons, and the first one is this. For one reason or another, I saw a lot of kids at the library playing hide and seek in the library. Now that might seem kind of weird. Certainly in an old school library, you wouldn't think that kids would be playing hide and seek, but this happens quite a bit at the Shaler Library. We're a loud library, especially on the second floor, where the teens and the kids are, and we often see little children playing with each other back and forth, parents, caregivers, and it brought back memories of my own myself as a child playing hide and seek and how much I hated it because I was afraid, you know, that nobody would look for me. Yeah. So, but I love watching little kids play hide and seek because especially when they're really little, the delight that you can just see on their faces when their parents or grandmas turn a corner and they are discovered. When the kids are found, they are no longer alone. And their faces just light up with this joy and they giggle. They're found. I'm here. They see me. They got me. I know it's a game. It's an old game. The first recorded game of hide and seek goes back to 2nd century Greece. I think it has some staying power. But when I saw it this week, it hit me in a different way. And it hit me in relation to this beautiful poem right here, Psalm 139. This holy word, these beautiful words written by a child of God, I think that they convict and they comfort at the same time. Because they remind us how often we play hide and seek with God. Indeed, if you think about the story of Adam in the Garden of Eden, in that story, after Adam and Eve, they eat of the forbidden fruit, they become ashamed of their bodies, they cover themselves. The story goes that when they hear God walking in the garden, they hide. And God says to Adam, "Where are you?" And Adam replies, "I heard the sound of you moving, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid myself." And then Abel tries to hide from God after he kills his brother. And Jonah tries to hide from God's call. And in the passage that we read aloud together, the author of this psalm, they share their experience of hiding. They try to hide several places, but where can I go? Where can I flee? I go to heaven, you're there. I go in the pit, you're there. The farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand, it's going to hold me fast. I try to hide in the darkness. No, you are shining a light on me. You find me. And this psalm is a salve. It is an ointment for the wounded, for the running, for the hurting soul. It's for you and I who want to hide, who've hidden parts of ourselves, or just want to hide from the pain for things that have happened in our world, our smaller world, our intimate world, when we get those horrible phone calls that a loved one is gone, that a precious one of ours has received a diagnosis, that something awful may happen or has happened, that there is no tomorrow, or that something that we have done or have left undone, we want to hide that. We don't need to run from that anymore. We don't need to hide because this word reminds us that not only Does God know that already? Was that God was with us then and now, and God has found us, and God's hand is upon us. God has seen us. God knows. Oh Lord, you searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You know my words. But God loves us. Known and loved and able to be redeemed and reworked and reformed. Known and loved. I wonder how many times someone has offered you a word of praise or compliment, a word of gratitude, and you shrugged it off, either out loud or maybe inside. You walked away from a conversation where somebody said to you, thank you, or you are such an angel, or you really helped me through that, or I'm so glad that you did this, or I'm so glad that I met you. And you walked away and you thought, boy, if they only really knew me. Or boy, I have them fooled. I hear people say that all the time. I say it too. And everybody has a good laugh. And yes, okay, the truth is nobody's perfect. And at the same time, I think we need to internalize those words of praise, those gentle, tender words of thought from others, because I'm coming to understand that those little words of appreciation, those notes that people send you, those are reminders, and they're coming from God's children. They're coming from God. Those are reminders of the truth. Those are reminders that there is someone who really does know you. There really is someone who you are unable to fool. You are unable to hide from. And that someone loves you without exception, every bit of you. This week, I talked with a man I've known for about 5 or 6 years now, not well, but he's a regular patron at the library, and we've always been friendly, and we've talked about everything from the spiritual stuff to movies, the New York Times bestseller list. And in our conversation this week, he shared with me that this is the 1 year anniversary of his apartment. And I raised an eyebrow. I didn't fully understand what he was talking about. And he told me more of his story. And it turns out that prior to a year ago, he'd been living in his car. And that was why he was at the library so much. He'd lived in his car for nearly 5 years. He'd lost his job and his home. And he'd use the library for the computer to apply for programs and help and jobs. He'd gotten a gym membership for $10 or $30 a month so he could shower. It took him a long time to find a job because it's hard to get jobs and help without a formal address. And he worked for a couple of years living in his car until he could save up for a security deposit on an apartment. And so now for a year, he had an official address, a place to call his own other than his vehicle. And he said that now he still doesn't really tell a lot of people about his years in his Chevy. And he's probably only just telling me because he didn't know me all that well. He tried his best to look like a regular person. And indeed, I never would have guessed that he was unhoused all those years. He told me that he always knew that God was watching over him and was always with him in that car. He's not a churchgoer. He made that very clear. He knew that God hadn't put him in that car. But he knew that God was with him in that car. And he knew that God would be with him every night when he was and when, if he ever got out. And that's what kept him going on the coldest nights of the year. And I thought back to how many cold nights we'd had in the last few years, and on the sweltering nights, and I thought back to all the hot nights we'd had, and all the roadblocks that popped up on his way, his progress to get his apartment. And we talked, and I told him about the message I was working on this week and where I thought maybe God was taking me. And that's the real reason why I asked us to add those verses. Because this man refused to hide from God. And I'll call him Joe. Joe said that he hid his situation from people, and it wasn't easy. But he hid from people because he was ashamed. But he knew he couldn't hide his situation from God. But more importantly, Joe said, because he knew that people would most likely judge him. He had a very low anthropology. People would hurt him. He knew that people would most likely judge him and call him lazy or weird or broken and unfixable. But he knew that God was okay with him. And God found him to be a pretty decent guy. And my prayer is that every one of us could write this poem on our hearts. I discovered this week that the mystic preacher, theologian Howard Thurman, during his adult life, he lived to be 81. This was the prayer he prayed, the scripture he recited every day of his adult life, Psalm 139. He called this the great passage. This is the passage I used to preach at the most difficult funeral I ever had to do, the funeral of my dear friend's baby who died before she was born, 2 days before her due date. Because no matter where we go, what painful places life takes us, God is there with us. No matter what we are thinking or how we react to the circumstances, the storms of life, the pain, the hell around us, we are seen, we are known, and we are loved. Amen. And as we prepare to come to this table of grace and tenderness and forgiveness and love, let us sing together 1, 3, and 5 of Come to the Table of Grace. Thank you. be seated. Once again, I want to thank Mickey for the music that she chooses, especially as we come to the table. Just a reminder that, as the song said, we celebrate open communion here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, because this is not our table, it is God's table. And no matter where you are in your faith journey, you are welcome at this table.
For the power of love in human history and human life, we give thanks and praise. Long ago, our ancestors knew love's power, and they became the tellers of love's tale. Love bound them in covenant, teaching them to live in community with compassion and concern for the poorest among them. Yet centuries of domination and violence shaped a different kind of community, based on selfishness and inequality. In the struggle against oppression, Jesus became the face of love, showing us the way to abundant life. In word and deed, he announced love's new reign of justice, reconciliation, and peace. Filled with the courage and passion of love's spirit, he gave his life to challenge the unjust systems of the world. On the night of his betrayal and arrest, he shared a meal with his friends. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his followers, saying, "Share this bread among you. This is my body, which will be broken for justice. Do this to remember me." When supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Share this wine among you. This is my blood, which will be shed for liberation. Do this to remember me." God of love, Spirit of compassion, bless us and this bread and cup. May this meal be food and drink for our journey, renewing, sustaining, and making us whole. When we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we again experience the presence of Jesus in our midst. The table is ready. All are welcome. Come, for the feast is spread. together in thankfulness.
Celebration of life that will be held rising in body or spirit, and singing our closing hymn, Something More.
This day, this night, and throughout all eternity.